Welcome to Bicom's Audio Podcast. My name's James Serene, Bicom CEO. I'm absolutely delighted to have with us today Hanin Gadar, who's a visiting fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and a renowned expert on Hezbollah. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here with you.
So first of all, I wanted to ask you about, you know, the background going forward. Hezbollah has now been banned in the UK under UK law. It will come into effect tomorrow. Membership, support of Hezbollah will be a criminal offence, punished by 10 years in prison. What does that mean to Hezbollah operations from Lebanon? How does that affect how Hezbollah is trying to operate?
First of all, Hezbollah is becoming more dependent on various resources, sources of funding today more than ever, because Iran usually sends Hezbollah most of their budget. But today, with the sanctions and with the financial crisis that Iran is going through, it is definitely affecting Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is going through its own financial crisis. So this is important in the sense of tightening Hezbollah's resources and making sure that Hezbollah doesn't access more, because they are trying today to find new sources of funding. And if they cannot actually get donations and work via Europe in general and the UK specifically, they will have more difficulty accessing these funding that are more important today than ever because of their financial crisis. So it is a big deal for Hezbollah. It's definitely, it's going to increase their burden, their financial crisis, and they will definitely keep looking for more sources of funding. And if this step is followed by other European countries, this would be major. So as a first step, it's very important, but it has to be followed by more European countries, and then it will be a big deal for Hezbollah because they're more and more relying on these sources today than ever.
Could you give us a bit of detail on what the sort of maybe the annual budget is of Hezbollah and like where it's currently getting sources? Because people talk about very large sums of money, for instance, coming from Iran. But it'd be good to get a sense. You said that they're in a crisis, like how much it's reduced over the last few years.
Sure. Hezbollah's budget has been shifting since the war in Syria, since their involvement in the war in Syria and protecting Bashar al-Assad and doing all these military and the soft power initiatives in Syria. But it has been changing recently. So, for example, before Syria, before their regional role, Hezbollah used to diversify their funding in terms of 50% used to go to the military and 50% of their budget that used to mostly come from Iran. 80% of it used to come from Iran to social services, which is one of the most important pillars for them in order to get the popular support that they need. So their social services used to get 50% of their funding, of their budget. But after they went to Syria, in Syria, they realized it's not a matter of weeks or months as they expected. So they started to realize that it's going to take years, and their military operations in Syria and in the region as a whole started to exhaust their budget. So they started to shift again and send more of their military budget. So the military budget started taking between 70 to 80% of their budget, and the social services started to shrink, and they had to sacrifice a lot when it comes to their community in Lebanon, who stopped benefiting from the social services, and the social services started to benefit only the fighters' community. So if they want to recruit more fighters, the new fighters, the contractuals, basically, the ones who only were recruited to fight in Syria, not only they used to get a salary, but also they could benefit from the social services that no one else is benefiting from. So they started to cater for the poorer community. Today, this has changed because of the sanctions. The money is still coming from Iran to a certain extent, but they are thinking long term. When they think long term, they need to know that these sanctions might continue beyond 2020. And they feel that at one point, Iran will not be able to send them bags of dollars to Lebanon. So they're diversifying the sources of funding. And also they had to go through austerity measures. So they're not paying salaries as even to the fighters anymore. The employees, the other employees, the non-military employees have stopped getting salaries for the past 3 months. And the fighters themselves are not getting all their salaries anymore. So sanctions are hitting. And this is huge. So if Hezbollah cannot pay salaries and they cannot provide social services, they will lose their community, or at least 70 to 80% of the community that only support Hezbollah because not only because they are the protector, but they're also the provider. So this is major for them. And they want to, they are starting to look for new sources of funding, including the government in Lebanon. They are now trying to get a lot of money via the Lebanese government. The aid, the Cedar aid that is coming to Lebanon, maybe depending on the reforms, they're trying to get this this money via government institutions instead of the private public enterprises. So they want to access the $11 billion. They want to access government budgets. They want to access different sources of funding. And this step that the UK is doing today is very important because they are relying more and more on their networks and international networks than ever. They need these networks today.
Was this why Hezbollah was so keen to get the health ministry when they formed the new government a few weeks ago? Is there a link there with being able to use that for patronage? Is there an ability for them to use that kind of state funding for patronage for their own supporters?
Of course. That's exactly why they needed the health ministry. Your point is very, very valid. They definitely needed the health ministry. Not only, like, it's not a sovereign ministry, and people didn't pay attention to this at the beginning, but they do control the sovereign ministries. Their allies have the justice ministry and the defense ministry and all these other ministries that are important, so they don't need to control them themselves. But the health ministry, not only it is fourth in terms of budget, it is the number one ministry that caters for the people directly. So it's not, their budget is not about paying salaries and doing projects. It's mostly catering for the people. So today they don't really need to channel the funds to their institutions, right? Because this is today, for example, the U.S. line has, U.S. government line has changed when Hezbollah took the health ministry. Today, they're mostly, the U.S. is monitoring whether Hezbollah is going to channel these funds from the ministry to their institutions. They're not going to do that. What they're going to do is use this budget of this ministry to cater for their own people, but not necessarily to the Shia community. So the first thing that the health ministry did today is started in Akkad, which is the most impoverished Sunni region in Lebanon, which is a very smart move in terms of sending a message that we're not catering for the Shia community only. We're catering for all the poor people. But this is also political, because do you know that today in Lebanon, as the Sunni street is suffering from the lack of leadership and the lack of money from the Gulf, Hezbollah today is trying to get the Sunnis to their sides. So they need to do this. So what they're doing today is using the budget of the ministry to cater for all the Lebanese. But it's not as simple as that. It will look as if they're doing a good thing by, you know, like helping the poor Sunnis and the Shia and the Christians, but they're using it to get support from all of Lebanese, not only the Shia today. And they're not going to channel the funds. They are using the funds to cater for Lebanese people, which is fine. Like, this is what the health minister is supposed to be. But everybody knows that Hezbollah will get credit for that, because usually the previous health ministers didn't really think about it the way they do. They're smarter in that sense. And health ministry is important, but they also control a lot of other sovereign ministries and service ministries. So they are going to use. So today, Hezbollah, for example, told Nabih Birri, the head of Amal movement, the other Shiite party, which is also Hezbollah's ally. Amal used to be in charge of all the employment within the state that are preserved for the Shia. So Hezbollah had their own budget. They were comfortable financially. They didn't really need the state resources. So today they told Amal that we are going to go 50-50. So Nabih Birri, the leader of Amal, who's also the Speaker of the House, cannot have all the government jobs anymore for the Shia. Hezbollah is taking 50% of them. So instead of, because they cannot pay salaries anymore, they are going to put their own people, give them jobs within the state, which used to be an Amal thing. So they're competing with Amal today inside the state. They're using the state funds, and they're looking also for other sources of funding. So what they're doing today is, instead of getting donations from people living outside Lebanon, they are using Western Union, for example, to get money. that cannot be really tracked. They are putting a lot of donation boxes in shops. They're using Iraq, for example, a lot of the money that is allocated by the Iraqi government to the PMF, the Hashd al-Shaabi, who joined the government. A lot of these salaries are ghost salaries. So these are going to Hezbollah, for example. So these are a lot of new sources that they're looking at in order to compensate for their financial crisis. It's not like they don't have the money anymore. They have two worries. The first thing is that they worry that the next war with Israel is going to be devastating. But this is not 2006. In 2006, the government of Lebanon, Senyura, March 14 leader, was the prime minister. And Lebanon was not controlled by Hezbollah. So a lot of people in the international community, especially in the Gulf states, immediately rushed to help Lebanon after the war in terms of reconstruction and aid. This time around, the government is controlled by Hezbollah. No one probably is going to come to the aid of Lebanon after the war. So they're worried about reconstruction. They have to be capable of helping the Shia community when it comes to reconstruction after the war. Plus, they're worried that of a refugee crisis, because in 2006, a lot of people went to other parts of Lebanon. They went to Syria. They got a lot of aid from the international community. This time around, they might not. So they're thinking of the repercussions of the war financially. So they need to save up some money. Another thing, their budget has shifted again today, that the military operations in Syria have subsided. They do not need as many people in Syria anymore. So to save money, they have fired all the contractors, the fighters that they have, the new fighters they have recruited only to fight in Syria. They kept a few in some areas in Syria, like the suburbs of Damascus, Sayyida Zainab, Deir ez-Zor, and the south of Syria. They are using this budget. It's not like the military budget is no longer needed so they can go back to provide social services. No, the military budget has decreased, but the money that they could save is still not going to the social services because they're using it to build roads. So they're doing a lot of soft power initiatives, land purchasing, demographic changes, recruiting Sunnis in Deir ez-Zor and the south of Syria and the suburbs of Damascus. So they're using this money to build roots in Syria like they did in Lebanon in the 80s. So this is their new initiative in Syria. And soft power requires a lot of money. It's land purchases and recruiting Sunnis in Deir ez-Zor and the south. It's not like they don't have to pay more than $200, $300 per month for these guys. But they are trying to get as much as they can. So that's why in Lebanon, you feel that the Shia community is being put on hold. And they don't really mind because they kind of take the Shia community for granted. And when you ask them about why is it, because this has never happened before, like the majority of the Shia community are looking for an alternative. But they're not worried because they know that there's no other alternative. And they know that eventually they will be able to get more money from new sources of funding or when the crisis is over. And they believe that the Shia community will come back when this is resolved. So this is a golden opportunity to tighten the belt around them. A golden opportunity to really go after their sources and resources in Europe. So that's why, again, like the UK decision, if all went well and Hezbollah cannot really like access their networks in the UK, this is a big deal for them. It's a big blow. But again, if this needs to go further than that, like if they still can access their network in Europe, they will still have some sources of funding. And this is very important for them at this point.
So it needs to spread. I wanted to ask you about one of the criticisms that was raised in the UK about the ban, that making Hezbollah, all of the organization, a terrorist organization, would that affect Britain's ability to have good relations with the Lebanese government, because there are so many people in the Lebanese government who belong to Hezbollah, and that there is a provision in British law that says that it is possible for British diplomats, for instance, to meet with Hezbollah as long as they are, you know, talking about something that is a diplomatic objective. Say, for instance, trying to get them to stop violence. But there is a fear that there may be a limitation on Britain's ability to continue to support the Lebanese government, to provide aid, to provide the Lebanese armed forces. But yet at the same time, the US also bans all the organization and doesn't have this problem. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it doesn't have this problem. And I don't think that's going to be a problem because they can still meet people from the Lebanese government who are not Hezbollah. And I really believe at one point, if there is a problem meeting with Hezbollah and their allies in government, then that's good. These people, especially Hezbollah's allies, like Amal Movement and the FPM, the president and the foreign minister today, they need to understand at one point that allying with Hezbollah has a price. And the Lebanese government as a whole also need to understand that allowing Hezbollah to be part, not only to be part, to be a major part, the biggest part of the Lebanese government, is also a problem. Because so far, the Lebanese people haven't learned that there's a price for this. The Lebanese people voted for these people. They have voted for Hezbollah and they have voted for Hezbollah's allies. That's how they won.
So why do they vote for them? I mean, part of me is thinking, you know, has that ship already sailed? I mean, Hezbollah is very popular. It's been providing all these services in the country. Why do they vote for them?
No, it hasn't. Well, not everybody voted. If you think about it, the people who actually voted in this elections are not the majority of the Lebanese. And those who voted for them because they're used to it. They're benefiting from them. And those who didn't vote because they didn't have an alternative. And the alternative that is out there is not strong. It's not supported. They're on their own. And the balance that we used to have in the country between March 14 and March 8 is gone. So this is a big deal.
It's about the lack of other alternatives.
The lack of other alternative. But it's not just only political alternatives. The problem today in Lebanon is economic. And Hezbollah understands that very well. So that's why they need to be on top of all the corruption files, corruption issues, economic issues, although nobody's really buying it, but they're trying their best to be the leaders or the champions of the anti-corruption campaigns, the economy issues. And the issue in Lebanon today is really the economy. So if you think of an alternative to the Lebanese in general, but to the Shia community today in particular, the real alternative they're looking for is not really political, because people are disillusioned when it comes to new political parties and ideologies and political slogans. What the people really need today is an economic alternative. And the only people who understand this from the very beginning, who really got this since the 80s, are Hezbollah. When you provide economic alternatives, when you come to the people and say, we are not only the protector, we are also the provider, people will think about it. They will consider it, because the issue in Lebanon today is the economy. The country is on the verge of collapse economically. And if you provide a political alternative without an economic and financial component, it's not going to work. And this is what we had in the past elections. A lot of civil society people ran for elections. A lot of Hezbollah opposition ran for elections. But the financial component was not there. And without the financial component, people are not going to trust that these guys are going to be providers.
What do you think the future is for Hezbollah? I mean, do you think that their strategy is just keep growing, become more mainstream in terms of getting more ministers, trying to be respectable in the government? Or is their strategy sort of military, you know, get more of a presence in Syria and other countries with more Shia militias? Or are they going to try and do both? And I wonder if you think that, you know, the fact that America is really tightening sanctions against Iran and against Hezbollah, so is the UK now. Do you think the tide is turning against Hezbollah, or do you think that they can get round this and they can just move ahead and sort of, you know, become even stronger?
This is definitely a very good question. I think they're going to try to do both, but they don't look at these two, the political and the military, separately. It's the same thing, right? And that's why I don't believe in the military wing versus the political wing. It's the same thing. And their political power in Lebanon and their presence in the government in terms of ministers and MPs, etc., it's a tool. This is not the goal. This is a tool for real power, which is going to be translated militarily. So their role is military. Their objective is to have military operations. They thrive on wars, so they cannot let go of their arms and become a political party. Because the moment they let go of their arms and become a political party, they will lose. They will end, because they exist on the everything they've done is via the power and the threat of arms. Starting in 2006, the war of 2006, and then in 2008 when they used their arms against Lebanese during the May 7 events for the first time. And this was a very important message that was sent to the Lebanese people and the Lebanese politicians who were opposing them. And that was a crossroad when people realized that when Hezbollah has arms, they can have political power. They are tied. They cannot have a political power and be politicians or a political party without the arms. And that's the threat of arms, even if they don't use their arms per se, the threat of arms, the fact that they have used their arms again against other Lebanese once, and they threatened by using their arms again, this is the main issue. So their political power in Lebanon is actually a means to the goal, which is military, which is a military presence. They are an army. They are part of the Revolutionary Guards in Iran. They are part of it, and they say it all the time, and we need to believe them at one point that they are part of this, of these guards. So in terms of sanctions, I think it's working. It's definitely causing a financial crisis, but it's not enough, because what their strategy is today is they are going to go to do more austerity measures in order to survive these sanctions. They are looking for new sources of funding that are not going to be affected by sanctions. On the long run, if nothing else is done, if it's only like this kind of sanctions, they will be able to evade it and survive, not necessarily comfortably, but they will eventually survive. They will use the government, they will use the Iraqi government, they will use Syria in order to survive the sanctions as much as they can until things change. I think what we need to do, we need to start thinking of countering them in terms of, okay, sanctions are working, they're creating an opportunity. This is why the sanctions are important, because they are creating an opportunity. Hezbollah did not win the elections because they're popular. They won because they are strong and because there's no other alternative. So as the sanctions are working, again, sanctions are a tool. They are not a strategy. So as the sanctions are working, this is great. We need to sanction them more. We need to sanction Iran more, all its proxies in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon, and also come up with an alternative in order to tell the people of the region, especially the Shia communities in the region, that these guys are not going to provide for you or protect you anymore. This is not the solution for you. Shia Islam or Iran's ideology is not the solution. It's not empowering you as much as they're saying, and they're not providing for you. This is your alternative. So the alternative that needs to be created is one, to bring back the balance, the political balance in Lebanon, for example, to make sure that Hezbollah's opposition is not alone. It's empowered, it's structured, it's supported, and also provide, not necessarily provide, as the US or the UK or Europe. It's help provide a financial alternative for the Shia community via the private sector, definitely not via the government because they control the government, but via the private sector, international organizations, to tell them that they are not the only alternative out there. This is today, there's a golden opportunity for this today. I haven't seen the Shia community in Lebanon divided as much as they are today.
So there's an opportunity for investment, there's an opportunity for the private sector, and there's an opportunity, I suppose, for international companies to get involved.
With a strategy to work with the Shia community, special people in the Shia community who are ready to do this, businessmen, the business community also of Hezbollah, like that is very important. There's a huge business community that used to work with Hezbollah, but today they are looking for ways of getting out and working against Hezbollah. And this is a business community that is not Hezbollah, that is a Shia community. And they can create jobs, they can work as private sector, they can work with the international organizations. And we have like some of these guys who are doing this and that here and there, like small hospitals, small schools, but they're not enough. But there are a lot of people who are trying to do this. They need support to create this financial alternative that comes within a bigger strategy that caters for the Shia community in terms of political discourse, citizenship, the Lebanese identity, more focus on the Lebanese identity rather than the Shia identity. And this is where you can actually take the Shia community away from Hezbollah. And this is an opportunity that has not happened before and might not happen again. And there are two ways, really, of countering Hezbollah. Go after the regime in Iran financially or politically or whatever it takes to weaken the regime in Iran, because this is one, this is the main source of Hezbollah. But the other one, which is as important, which is equally important, is the support community, which is the Shia community in Lebanon. If you go after these two together, that would work. But if you go after the regime in Iran and the Shia community is left without any alternatives, they will keep supporting Hezbollah eventually. They will come back.
Hanin, thank you so much for joining us. We covered a lot of ground there and gave us some really good ideas about, you know, what needs to be done beyond just prescription and sanctions. But that's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for being with us this week.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.